Chapter 13, Shrinking the Unimportant. Takeaway. Every single support task in your work can be either shrunk, delegated, or even, in a few rare cases, eliminated entirely. After you have a better grip on how much time and attention you spend on your problem tasks, the maintenance tasks in your work are a lot easier to deal with. The Unimportant. Despite taking the time to figure out my highest impact tasks at the beginning of my project, I didn't do anything about the lower return tasks in my work until it was almost too late, until I was so overwhelmed by my support tasks that my productivity plummeted. Something had to give. One surprise discovery I made after looking at my first time log, in addition to how much time I spent procrastinating, was how much time I spent working on low return maintenance tasks throughout the week. Even though I felt productive because I was so busy working on them, they didn't lead me to accomplish anything meaningful. Parkinson's law states that your work expands to fit the amount of time you have available for it. In my project, I found this law to be especially true with tasks that are low return. Because your limbic system puts up such a fight against working on your more challenging, highest return tasks, the low impact tasks that support your work almost serve as work crack or work candy. You feel productive when you work on them. After all, you're incredibly busy, but they lead you to accomplish less. Looking through my list of work tasks in my time log, I pinpointed the problem tasks in my work that ate up the most time, the ones that expanded to fit how much time I had available. They were, in order of how much time and attention they consumed, answering email, attending meetings, loading blog articles and newsletters, managing my calendar, coaching people and businesses on productivity, researching and scheduling travel, coordinating and participating in conference calls, doing website maintenance, and managing my social media accounts. Chances are that you have similar maintenance-type tasks that support your real work. Pretty much every knowledge worker on the planet is inundated with email and gets invited to too many meetings and events. But as I discovered, there's good news. Every single support task can either be shrunk, delegated, or perhaps eliminated entirely. Your low-hanging fruit. Depending on how defensive or protective you are of your time, you may discover that you have a few low-impact tasks that you can eliminate entirely. In my experience, though, it's very difficult to eliminate all these tasks. In the jobs I've worked in the past, I was paid to work on a lot of tasks that weren't always the best use of my time. And though pushing back against many of them would have made me more productive, doing so would have also made me look like a jerk or would have gotten me fired. However, you may find that there are tasks and responsibilities that you can eliminate entirely. Tasks like recurring low-return meetings, low-return phone calls in the productivity porn of social media and news websites and other time wasters, tasks and projects that make little use of your time or unique talent or skills, and tasks and projects in which you contribute little value but which take up a lot of time. I've found that the tasks that support your work will almost always outnumber the tasks that you can safely eliminate. But if you do have low-hanging fruit on your list of low-leverage tasks that you can pluck and eliminate, it's worth making an effort to do so, to free up valuable time and attention that you can better spend on your most important tasks. In my productivity project, I found I could only completely eliminate one item from my list, coaching people and businesses. Although the work paid decent money, it didn't directly contribute to my project or let me reach out to more people with my work. Alas, the rest I had to shrink the hard way. Severe shrinkage. I was in the pool, I was in the pool. George Costanza. After being stuck in email and meeting hell for a solid month or two, I finally decided to experiment with how I could shrink my support tasks to carve out more time and attentional space to get more actual, real work done. After a lot of trial, error, and late nights, I found that the most effective answer to shrinking low-return support tasks was to, 1, become aware of how much time and attention I spent on support tasks, and 2, shrink the tasks by setting limits. The simple act of keeping a time log makes you more aware of what you're working on daily. But time is only one part of the story. Low-return tasks can also take up a boatload of your attention. Take email, for example. After becoming inundated with email during my project, I asked several friends in an informal survey to keep a tally of how often they checked for new email messages at work every day for a week. The average between them? An astounding 41 times. Another, more scientific study found that most people check email about every 15 minutes, which adds up to 32 times over an 8-hour day. When you check for new email 32 times a day, that's 32 times your attention is derailed from what you're supposed to be working on. It's pretty hard to maintain any mental clarity in those conditions. Email may be a vital support task, but you also don't have to check it 32 times a day. I didn't fare any better. Even while trying to work as deliberately as possible, I check for new messages 36 times a day. After you identify your problem tasks, think about how frequently you focus on them throughout the day by keeping a formal tally for a day or two. After you have a grip on how much time and attention you spend on problem tasks, you'll find they're a lot easier to deal with. The best solution I've found to shrinking mine has been to set limits, both for how much time I spend on the task and for how often I focus on the task. Attention hogs. Some support tasks in your work take up a disproportionate amount of your attention rather than your time. For example, most emails take a minute or two to respond to, but when you check your email dozens of times a day, that's countless times you have to transition from focusing on something important to focusing on email. The switching costs associated with multitasking can be so enormous that I've devoted an entire later chapter to them. There's also, of course, the uncertainty that comes with not knowing whether you have new messages, which costs you even more attentional space, not to mention how often email alerts interrupt you when you're trying to work on something more productive. For tasks like email, the best way I've found to shrink their impact on time and productivity is to limit how often I focus on them throughout the day. I turn off my email alerts and only check emails at a few specific times, in the morning, before lunch, and at the end of the day. And I've found similar limits can work wonders for tasks like checking social media, making phone calls, and sending and responding to instant messages. That said, some emails are worth spending more time on. Forcing yourself to wait before responding gives your mind time to collect and form a thoughtful reply. And you might save yourself from sending a bunch of emails back and forth in the end. The following are just a few examples of the limits I set during my project. I scheduled just 3 30-minute chunks of time every day to deal with email. Limited myself to checking social media 5 times a day. Lumped similar tasks together so I could focus on them less frequently, like by making all my phone calls at once. Limited myself to starting just 5 new IM conversations a day. And only checked for new email when I had the time, focus, and energy to respond to everything that might have come in. Determining ahead of time when you'll tackle a task like email, as opposed to whenever it comes in or when you get the urge to, does a number of things at once. It helps you carve out more attentional space. It helps you work more deliberately. And it helps you stop thinking about your support tasks throughout the day because you've decided ahead of time when you'll focus on them. It took me a few weeks to settle into a routine where I check messages less frequently. But as with connecting to the internet less during the workday, after I settled into a new routine where I focused on my low-impact tasks less often, I had more mental clarity to devote to my real work than I had in a long, long time. Time hogs. Many support tasks suck up more of your time than they do your attention. Take meetings as an example. Although some meetings are important, the average person wastes an incredible amount of time in them. 37% of the average office worker's time is spent in meetings. A survey of 150 senior executives found that they think 28% of meetings are an unnecessary waste of time. I'd argue that number is north of 50% for most workers because senior executives aren't invited to the most pointless ones. Unproductive meetings are the opposite of support tasks like email. They use up a ton of your time, but hardly any of your attention or energy. Here are a couple of examples of how I put time limits on meetings during my project. Granted, I am in more control of my day than most office workers and managers. 1. Limited myself to attending 4 hours of meetings a week and pushed back on or canceled any meetings beyond that. And 2, took vacations away from support tasks, like I took a holiday away from email for a day or two by setting up a temporary autoresponder so I could work on a project that was high impact. These limits not only motivated me to get tasks done faster, they also forced me to come up with clever ideas to work smarter because I only had so much time. For support tasks that take up a lot of time and attention, I think it's helpful to set a time and attention limit for the task. During the productivity project, I found that email was sucking up a ton of my time. So in addition to blocking off 3 periods throughout the day to focus on emptying my inbox, I also made a rule that every single email I sent would be 5 sentences or less. I simply made a note of my actions in my email signature, quote, "For your benefit and mine, I keep every email I send to 5 sentences or less," end quote, to be as transparent as possible. My email recipients seemed to understand, and I instantly felt able to blow through my email inbox like never before. When I found it hard to make a response shorter than 5 sentences, I discovered it was a cue that a phone call was usually a more productive way to handle the matter anyway. Some time hogs, like idle office chit-chat, are inherently harder to tame. Although forming deeper office friendships can help your productivity quite a bit, it's also worth reflecting on whether idle office chit-chat is costing you valuable time. If it is, making a plan to avoid the banter, like by wearing headphones when working on critical tasks, avoiding gossip like the plague, finding another place to take a break besides in your office, asking the person interrupting you to help out with your work, or closing your office door during your BPT will help you free up even more time for your highest impact tasks. Just as a maintenance day creates structure around the support tasks in your life, setting limits for support tasks in your work makes it much harder for them to expand and take up more of your time or attention than they need to. By the way, you can also shrink the distractions of email by installing a Send It Later email plugin. My favorites at the time of writing for Gmail: Boomerang at boomeranggmail.com, WriteInbox at writeinbox.com, Apple Mail, Send Later at chungwasoft.com/sendlater. For Outlook, Send Later at sendlateremail.com. For Android, Boomerang, boomeranggmail.com. Returning to Zen. Since my project found its legs, instead of checking my email countless times a day, as I did when I began to receive boatloads of email, I've slowly chipped away at how frequently I check for new messages. Today, I check my email 3 times every week. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoon at 3 p.m., the time of the day I switch from a maker's schedule into a manager's schedule when I have less energy, I fire up my email inbox and go through it. And I've stuck to that schedule now for a long time. I value my time and want to spend it on the tasks that let me accomplish the most. I have a second priority inbox that only about 10 people know about that I check a few times a day, so the people I care the most about and work the closest with can reach me more quickly. Like most people, I still receive a lot of email, but changing the way I've dealt with it has let me carve out more time and attention for what's actually important every day. Although you probably don't have the flexibility to check your email only 3 times a week, it's worth respecting your attention and checking your inbox less than you do today. If you want to accomplish more, having additional attentional space is crucial. When you respond to every email within a few minutes of receiving it, chances are you're not using your attention wisely. One illuminating study found that, quote, "In the majority of email sessions, users were simply checking their email without acting on it," end quote. Don't check your email unless you have enough time, focus, and energy to respond to whatever might come in. By the end of my year-long productivity project, I gradually became more ruthless about defending my time for meetings, though that change was a bit tougher to make. When a meeting didn't have a clear purpose or agenda, or I wasn't needed, I began to push back to reclaim the time I would have otherwise wasted. That isn't always easy, But whenever I've given a reason for not attending, people are typically understanding. When I absolutely have to attend a meeting, I'll often suggest shortening the meeting a little, which motivates everyone to expend more energy and focus over that shorter time to move through the meeting's agenda quicker. Because the default options in Outlook are to end a meeting on the 15, 30, 45, or 0 of the hour, people default to those limits. Why not end 10 minutes early? And if you can ask a meeting participant for a 1-minute recap after a meeting, it's probably not worth your time to attend. When you're nice about it and give a good reason, people are usually understanding. Although it's impossible to completely eliminate email in meetings, it's possible to control how intelligently you spend your time and attention on them. Shrinking your low-return support tasks is the best way I've found to do that. Well, one of the two best ways, but I'll get to that in a bit. The Zenning Out Challenge. Time required, 15 minutes. Energy and focus required, 7 out of 10, though it will vary depending on how strong your limbic system is. Value, 8 out of 10. Fun, 4.5 out of 10. What you'll get out of it. You'll spend considerably more time on your highest impact and most meaningful tasks every week instead of treading water while working on support tasks. The challenge for this chapter, once again, is simple. Choose one or two low-impact support tasks in your work that you have trouble taming and shrink them by setting a limit for how much time you spend on them, how frequently you focus on them, or both. But just a quick warning. When you shrink your low-impact maintenance tasks, something will happen that you may be familiar with by this point. Your limbic system will kick into full drive. When you simplify your work to focus on bigger and more challenging things throughout the week, your limbic system will act up. You'll feel guilty, wondering if you received any important email, as well as about pushing back on unimportant meetings or fighting the urge to check social media one more time. Resist the urge! Like disconnecting from the internet initially, that sense of misplaced guilt goes away with time, after which you'll be able to focus more easily on what's actually important. As an aside, don't be afraid to treat yourself after you successfully shrink your low-return tasks. When I chatted with Charles Duhigg, the author of the best-selling and acclaimed book, The Power of Habit, during my project, he stressed the importance of rewarding yourself as you form new habits. According to Charles, quote, "When a habit and a reward become neurologically intertwined, what's actually happening is a neural pathway is developing that links those things together in our head," end quote. When you successfully shrink your low-return support tasks, don't be afraid to treat yourself with something you find genuinely rewarding to make the challenge more fun. It'll probably help you out in the long run.